My dad asked that I not do it in the summertime, which is when everybody else did their internships. He asked that I do it in January so I could be home to work. So I had this burden from the Lord in my own heart for missions. Didn't know where, but I had this conviction from the Word of God that it needed to be in a certain pattern. And I had this principle from the Word of God that I needed to honor my parents in this process. And I remember the deadline coming and I didn't know where to go, didn't know how it was supposed to work out, and took some time and heard about an opportunity up in Wildwood, was up in Oshkosh at Wildwood Baptist Church, where there's a missionary there, Tom Needham, who had just finished building a plane and needed some volunteers to help clean up fiberglass. And all I knew is it was a Saturday that I would not be in school doing homework, so I was going to go up and do that. And I was really wrestling, though, with this idea of where to go for my internship. And that's the first time I'd heard of Cameron once before, because my brother had just started talking about it at that point. But I thought at that point it was an island in the Caribbean somewhere. I did not know where Cameroon was. But within 15 minutes of talking to Brother Needham, and if you know Tom, he does this to everybody, but as far as I was concerned, this was directly from the Lord for me, and it was. He asked if I was interested in doing an internship in Cameroon. And then that was exactly what I was praying for, and I began to be very interested in that. And then he, without me saying anything, said the only main detail would be that you need to do it next January, not next summer, which was exactly how I had been praying and had, you know, the Lord had shut different doors because of that. And so at that point, I knew that must be where the Lord wants me to go. And I would say that is really how God works in a lot of our lives. He uses the Word of God. He uses the Spirit of God. He uses the different circumstances that he puts you in to direct you as you seek him to do as well. And that's how God, little by little, as we grew and moved through different phases of our life, our married life, I've been involved in different roles in the local church. That, to me, is the most exciting place to be, is what's going on at church, whether it be teaching Sunday school or maintenance or deacon role or, you know, even a little bit of interim pastor at work or youth evangelism, those kinds of things God's let us do. This burden, though, to go into missions began to really grow, and we moved back to Falls about 5 years ago to really seek the Lord for clarity on that. And as we began to pray about it, we researched other countries, we were praying through different things, and it just began to be plain that the different scriptural principles were at play, as well as the leadership of the Lord in our heart, that you need to have a good relationship with your church. It is churches that plant churches, not just men that go out and do it of their own will. It is the Spirit of God working in the body of Christ who moves that church to send people out of their midst to go to the mission field and plant churches. And that's what God did in our home. We just begin to get as involved as we could be and just to be as close to the Lord as we could be and open to counsel. But he also uses relationships, and he also directs where he knows you need to go. And I looked back as we were praying about all of this. I looked at the mission field of Cameroon and saw that God had put us in that country at times past. God had given us relationships with people there that he had not done in some of the other countries that we were interested in. I have a brother that's there, a brother who's gifted differently than I am and who is someone I respect greatly. I have other men that are there, national men, who in my times there taught me a lot. Some of the greatest privileges I've had have been to work with men who are laboring in the ministry in Cameroon, national men. And I just looked at those relationships. One of the main reasons missionaries leave the field are relationship issues with other missionaries. And I just began to realize it doesn't make any sense to go somewhere else. The door is open there. There are still needs there. There's invitation there. And we begin to really have clarity about that. And the Lord, over the course of some months in 2020, during COVID, God just really gave my wife peace too. And peace as well as myself. And just that was where we were supposed to go. And when we started to talk to Brother Candy, my pastor, it was like we were the last person that knew we were supposed to go there. And I found out since that there were a lot of people praying for us that way. And I really thank the Lord for that. And that's why when I said thank you for having us, when missionaries go to the field, it really is the result of years of God's people praying and laboring and investing in one another in the local church, teaching and mentoring young people, encouraging people as they go through trials, and just being faithful to do what God has called us to do in the church ministry here in the States. So I thank God for what's going on here. I thank the Lord for what he's done in our family's life just to prepare us, to mold us, to work in our lives, to chip away and expose our flesh and to teach us about himself. I'm thankful for that relationship there and thankful so much for what he's done over the last months, even on deputation. We're excited that we're getting closer to leaving the field, but we're also a little bit sad because it's been encouraging to see what God is doing all across America in the different local churches that are seeking to please Him. When a church is inviting a missionary to come in, it usually means something. It means that they are convinced that they should be involved in sending the gospel all around the world. And so it's a special privilege to get to come into a church that's dealing with all the trials of life that I'm dealing with, that my church is dealing with, all the different issues in the congregation or in their area or whatever particular ministry that they're involved in, and yet they still take the time to pray, give, and let strangers, come in and speak to them about another country that you'll never see, many of you. So really am excited and thankful for that opportunity and thankful for what God has done. He has provided in so many ways and directed in so many ways. I could spend the entire night articulating answers to prayer, ways God opened and shut doors, provided for our family as we stepped out of secular work and into this role. It's been truly exciting. I think God has done a lot of that just to encourage our faith as we step into a different life over in another country. So we're excited about that. Our burn right now at this point, and if you know missions, you know that missionaries have ideas when they're in deputation, and then those God directs those into better ideas that He knows about that you don't always know about. But our burden at this point is to go to Bafoussam, which is the capital province of the West Province, the capital city of the West Province. It's right bordering the English side of the country. So it's in a stable area, but it's nearby some of the areas that have had a lot of difficulty and sadness and death and violence over in Cameroon. But it itself is in a pretty safe area. We feel like it's a good spot to raise our kids, get established in the ministry there. There's several missionaries there. My brother Sam and Tom are also based there, as well as one national pastor that I know very well. It also tends to be a crossroads. So it's an easy place for people to get to from other parts of the country, relatively easy. So if the Lord continues to direct us that way, that's where we will at least start. We could spend our whole life there, though. There's a lot to do in that city. About 500,000 people. I hear different numbers that way. But it's a great place, we feel like, to establish a good church there, and then to see that church be involved in establishing other churches or strengthening. It'd be a good place to see a training ministry established or any kind of a hospitality ministry, a place where people can gather to be encouraged, maybe in conferences, those kinds of things. And a lot of those ministries were in place already in the English side. And the Lord knows what He's doing that way. So we're expecting that He'll make some of those things plain as we go there and get settled. Pray for us as we labor in French. We are right now in a 6-week intensive over in Chattanooga. It's a 2-semester college level course condensed into 6 weeks. So by the end of the first week, we were in, you know, chapter 6 of the book, which is normally where you're at in November of a college year. So it's been a very intense time, but it's been very eye-opening for us as we understand what it's going to take to function as a family while learning a language and adjusting to the new culture in Cameroon. So just pray for wisdom as we seek the Lord on how to actually learn that language. Just a couple statistics why French is important, I feel like. Cameroon is one of the countries in Africa that was formed based on resources, not necessarily cultures. So the coffee is here, the oil's here, the rubber's here, this mineral's here. And so post-colonial Europe, as they were leaving Africa, drew boundaries based on the resources, not necessarily based on the people that lived in those boundaries. And Cameroon was put together, 30% of the population from a former British colony and the different tribes that were aligned with Britain and Nigeria and more West Africa culture, and then East Cameroon, which is more of French culture. And those two areas were put together, and so some of the tensions that are going on in the country now are part of an ongoing, really, issues that have been there for a long time. But there are two main languages that are spoken there. Most people will learn their native language, a tribal language. I've read as many as 200 distinct languages in Cameroon that are spoken there. But two main ones that are spoken across the country, English and French. So we really feel like in order to move through both sides of the country, it'd be ideal to thoroughly learn the French language. But more than that, of the over 300 million French speakers in the world, I've seen numbers as high as 70% of French speakers live in Africa. So if we're burdened to see the Lord do a ministry, see a healthy church established that produces people to go into the ministry, There's a wide open harvest field in French-speaking Africa, and really French, the French world. And we're asking the Lord to really help us understand and be a part of a ministry that is able to affect the French-speaking world, not just in Cameroon, but maybe see God establish it there and see people go throughout Cameroon. If the Lord wants to do it, send them to other parts of this French-speaking world. And God knows how to do that. So that's part of our burden that way. There are many, many different languages spoken there, but those are the two, English and French. And so that's part of our burden, is that we know how to navigate and move through the French-speaking world. That is not who I have been. I did not grow up. I don't have any history in the French-speaking world. The most I knew about France were jokes about the French, because my dad was a military officer, and I thought it was funny to make fun of their military. I knew really nothing about any of that stuff, but I did not have a heart for French-speaking people. But over the last few years, as God has convinced us of that, He's totally opened our eyes up to what He wants to do and just what He has done even in the past among the French-speaking peoples of the world. And we're really asking the Lord to help us just to be a part of what He's wanting to do. And we know that God has a heart for them and wants to see them reached. So we're excited about that opportunity. You've met my wife and my kids. We're also burdened to be a part of music there, to help equip national men and women and children in good godly music. My wife is excited about organizing some kids' choirs. There's a opening radio ministry that is going on, that is developing there, and we look forward to just helping them record their own music and programming. Any way we can enable that ministry, we're looking forward to being a part of that. My brother is involved in aviation. He is a bush pilot, and he and Tom have worked very hard in that ministry. And so we look to just be involved in any way we can, in any kind of role that we can, while seeing good churches established and strengthened there. So we're excited about what the Lord will do, and just would appreciate your prayers as we take one step at a time. At this point, we're praying about finishing deputation this spring and summer, and making the preparations, ordination, and those kinds of things this summer, while actually packing and preparing to leave the country this fall. But we'll see how the Lord actually does that. There's so much to do that really, if you're a Christian and believe in giving the gospel and encouraging the saints, there is all kinds of things to do everywhere, whether it's at your own home church or on deputation or in Cameroon. So we're just trusting the Lord to make it very plain when to make that final step that way, as far as getting over there to Cameroon. So thank you for the opportunity. I want to give you a little bit of opportunity to ask any questions about us, our testimony about Cameroon specifically, before we look at a passage of Scripture here tonight. I've either killed it here or I've answered all your questions. So if you have any questions, just wave so I can see you up here. Wow. All right. Very good. We'll be out back at the table there afterwards. Feel free to grab one of our prayer cards. We really do appreciate your prayer. It means a lot when you're laboring in another culture far away from home, to simply get a line from somebody that says, "How are you doing? Was thinking of you and praying for you today." It takes about 10 seconds to text that, but it means a lot to a missionary. It means even more if you actually are praying for them, not just saying that. So I've done that before, where I texted someone that I was praying for them and realized I hadn't actually done it yet. So don't just say you're doing it, but it would probably be an encouragement even just to say it, even if you didn't do it yet. We appreciate your prayers, and if you'd like to get our prayer letters, go ahead and sign up out there at the table. Turn your Bible to Mark chapter 1 tonight. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we see Jesus beginning his earthly ministry. And he says in verse number 17 to his disciples, verse number 17 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Do you know, as you follow the Lord, as you trust Christ and then grow in your Christian life, do you know that in this passage we see this principle, the reality that Jesus Christ knows how to equip you for the ministry he wants you to do? He told those men to follow him, and he would change them from being fishermen, where they're catching fish, to being men who understood how to catch men. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." For our family, it's been a big change to go from at least in my life, to grow up in a self-employed business. We were self-employed. We had a reputation. I was number four in the family. I knew who I was. I knew what I knew how to do. I knew what I didn't do. I knew that part is his job and this part's my job. And I knew a little bit where I fit in the whole situation. When you take steps forward in seeking the Lord for what he wants for your life, sometimes you don't always know what to do. But you know, the Lord has promised that when you follow him, he will equip you to do what he's called you to do. He said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know, we can get so caught up in the details of what we're doing with our life that sometimes we forget who we're following. There have been times, I can think of one particular deputation meeting early on. There are still people who do not use the GPS. Did you know that? I grew up before GPSs, where people just told you how to get places. But nowadays, I just pretty much plug the address in and I follow what it says there. I remember a pastor said, you're coming over to our house for dinner, just follow me. That's not always easy. He took off and he liked to drive fast. And we were in a borrowed church van that I had never driven before. And it was dark and it was an unfamiliar area. And I remember before he left, I said, why don't you just give me your address and I'll plug it in my GPS. He said, no, brother, just follow me. So I tried to follow him, and I'm talking to my wife while we're driving. I remember looking over at her and then looking back, and he was gone. And it can be difficult to follow, can it? You have to do it on purpose. You have to do it intentionally. You don't just accidentally follow somebody. You have to choose to keep your eyes on them, look at where they're going, and think about it. You can't get distracted with other situations or you lose sight of who you're following. Jesus told his disciples, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. For our family, as we have stepped out of our former life, so to speak, into, for us, this first phase of our new life, which is deputation, it has been very much one of, how do I do this? What do I do here? How does this work? I mean, I've seen my brother do this. I know missionaries. I've read their prayer letters. But how do I actually do this? And it's been one of, Lord, how do I do this? And then God would work. He would either open my eyes to a scripture that I needed, or he directs somebody in the body of Christ to send me an email with exactly what I needed to do. Thank you, Brother Sinclair, for that. He sent me a lot of information that I needed. I didn't know what to do, but God knew exactly what I needed. Where am I going with this? If we're going to go forward in our Christian life, in all the changes or the distractions that we face, we have got to know what it is to literally follow the Lord step by step. And it's easy for us to forget sometimes who the Lord is. We know our doctrine. We know what we believe. But it's easy for us to lose sight in the day-to-day life of who he is and what we're supposed to do. And I want to just look tonight and just remind us of a couple basic characteristics of our Lord Jesus to remind us what it looks like practically to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we go to Cameroon, we're not going to go there and just do whatever we want. We're going to be mindful of the culture there. We're going to learn what we should or should not do to offend people, or what we need to do to learn to communicate. But at the same time, we're not going to go there and reinvent ministry. We're going to look at what the Bible says, seek the Lord and see what does the Bible say to do here? What should we do? Mark chapter 1, verse number 15, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, verse 14, it says, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Do you know that Jesus was a preacher? He did a lot of good works. He was a teacher. He healed people. But do you know the Bible over and over again refers to Jesus' preaching ministry? Do you know that that is not just a random word that God used, and it says that Jesus Christ came preaching? When it comes to ministry, when it comes to our Christian life, I remember during COVID, we had to ask ourselves, what is our relationship to the preaching of the Word of God? How are we going to do this? Are we just going to shut down church, not have church? Are we going to not have preaching meetings when we go to the mission field? Are we going to just have one-on-one Bible studies? Those are good. But do you know the ministry of preaching is something that God has ordained for the spreading of the gospel and the equipping of the saints? Do you know that many men that get up to preach, at least for me, and I know many, we don't just get up here because it's a good idea and we're good at it and our personality matches it. It's something that God calls men to because the scripture teaches it. Do you know that we need to be careful how we treat this idea of preaching? I can't tell you how many times when I was discouraged or distracted or just overwhelmed and I was working, doing whatever, instead of putting on music that made me feel good good music. It was nothing wrong with it. I decided I'm going to put on preaching that addresses me, that is from someone I know or that I don't know, but it's on a topic, and to put it on and listen to it. Or times, Wednesday nights, where busy day, everything bad that could happen happened, and I didn't want to come to church. And I didn't have responsibilities that demanded I be there, but I decided I should be there. I'm thankful for a father that taught me that and led by example, that didn't let his business dominate his life, that he made his priorities plain, that he had every reason not to be in church sometimes, but unless it was an emergency for somebody else, he was there. And I can think of many times where I came into church, sat down in the pew, didn't want to be there, but by the end of the service, God had used the singing, the encouragement of others, and the preaching of his word to encourage me and equip me for that trial I was in. I thank God for the ministry of preaching. You know, Jesus told his disciples to preach too. Acts chapter 10, Peter's preaching to Cornelius. He said, and he hath commanded us to go and preach the gospel. We don't just preach because, as I said before, our personalities would lend itself toward it. Do you know that if God wants you to preach, it's because he wants you to preach. It's a biblical idea, not just something somebody, you know, can pressure you into. It's a biblical idea, this ministry of preaching. I would just ask yourself that question. As you think of what it is to follow Jesus, what is your mentality toward preaching? Do you still respect it? Make room for it? Young person, are you willing to do it? Men, are you willing to do it? It's not just the pastor that does preaching. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities for preaching. I can think of more than one time where God used me in a situation, in a nursing home or a prison situation, just to give a simple message. And not because of me, but because God blesses the foolishness of preaching, that God used that situation. I would just say, as we want to figure out, you know, what we're doing in this following of the Lord Jesus, Jesus was a preacher. It's easy to forget that sometimes. Secondly, look at verse number 16, really through 16 through 20. He walked by the sea and he called Andrew. He saw Andrew and Peter. He called them after him. Verse number 19, when he got a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Jesus called disciples. Now, in Jewish culture, it wasn't completely strange for a rabbi to call students to follow him. And it wasn't completely strange for men to leave and follow a teacher. But at the same time, Jesus is just stepping into these men's lives, their father's business, and he's telling them, follow me. Jesus made disciples. Do you know this idea of following the Lord Jesus Christ? We're called to make disciples. Do you know that it doesn't happen automatically? It happens because Christians are convinced that they're supposed to be involved in helping others to grow in their Christian faith. The Great Commission says, teaching them to observe all things, Jesus said to his disciples, whatsoever I have commanded you. Do you know that idea of getting the gospel out and discipling is to every Christian, not just those who are professionals, not just those who are vocational, ministerial folks. It is to every Christian. Jesus told his disciples, go preach the gospel to every creature and teach them to do everything I've commanded and taught you, which would include what he just said, to go and teach and preach and disciple. And my question tonight is, if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, where is discipleship in our mindset? Do you know, in the secular world, the companies that die are the ones that do not invest in teaching others how to be successful in that trade. In my own trade that I grew up in, there's a phrase everybody could probably repeat it after me, which is, it's used across, not, it's across all trades, but you could repeat it tonight. Good help is hard to find. Now, good help is hard to find partially because young men, young women are, what my dad would say, are knuckleheads. They think they know everything, or they're convinced they can't do anything. And they're just all about themselves, and many young people are very hard to work with. And I'm not saying that this idea of discipleship and teaching others is something we do because it's easy. It's not easy. But it's something we do because as we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what he said to do. And my question tonight, if we're looking to the Lord and we want to know who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, if we're actually going to follow him, are we following him in this idea of discipleship? What are you doing when it comes to discipleship? Who are you investing in? I can think of many times where it was not easy for my dad to teach me, but he did it. We grew up in a family when dad got out of the military. It was a lot of transition and trials for our family, but we started the business and we started homeschooling and we didn't know how to do a lot of those things and it wasn't easy. But I can think of a time my mom was, she was the office manager. There were four kids still at home. And I'm a 12-year-old who did not want to do school, and she didn't want to teach me sometimes. I can remember arguing with her about something, and she just said, get in the car. And this was a new one. I didn't know what was going to happen next. She said, get in the car. So I got in the car, and she drove, and pretty soon I saw up ahead my dad's van in front of somebody's house. She pulled up. She said, get out. And then she took off. And I stood there, not sure what I was going to do. And my dad came out, and what are you doing here, Chris? This wasn't right down the road from our house. This is a few miles away. And I was, you know, I don't know, Mom, I think, just thought you needed some help or something, you know. And he said, all right, well, you know, do you know that it's not easy for a man that has a job to do to teach a 12-year-old how to help him? I remember my boss sending me young guys who'd never even changed a tire, and they're supposed to help me install an air conditioner. It takes twice as long to do a job when you're trying to teach somebody else how to do it. Do you know that? Do you know discipleship is not something you're going to do because it's easy? It's going to be something you do because you're convinced it's what you're supposed to do. And there are times when it is not easy. And there's times where it does not make sense and it's not what you feel like doing. But we have got to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in this idea of making disciples. Jesus not only made disciples, look at verse number 41 of Mark chapter 1. Verse 40, and a leper came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. The Bible says here that Jesus was moved with compassion. I think if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ effectively, we need to not only know the truth, the right and wrong of the gospel. We've got to not only have a right ministry philosophy. We have got to do what we do motivated by the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard it said, Andrew Murray said that you can go to the mission field because you love people, but you will not stay on the mission field unless you love God and are convinced of his love for you, really. And I would say tonight that if you're going to effectively follow the Lord, you've got to be recognizing of the fact that he is moved by compassion. Do you know, I'm not just saying that you need to have compassion. I'm saying, do you recognize the fact that he is moved with compassion towards you? That he loves you, that there's not a trial or difficulty that you can go through, that he doesn't feel that and understand that and love you. I can't tell you how many situations God brought me through because I recognized God loved me. That God's compassion was for me, not just for the guy that I felt deserved it, but that it was for me. And I can't tell you the number of times that I was convinced of his compassion because there was another believer who demonstrated that to me. In 2018, with the death of Brother Wesco, our family was grieving over my father's sudden death. He'd been diagnosed in May and died in August, and I never get to say goodbye to my dad. I spend a lot of time with him, and I can remember as we unplugged the machine and quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the sting of death. And I remember that funeral when there were other believers. I didn't know what was going on, but they're patting you on the back, and they're just there saying, we're here for you. We love you. Or other times where I had made a mess of a situation and a brother or sister of Christ simply showed the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's true, they say, it sometimes doesn't matter what you know. It's this idea of people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter tells them that you need to be moved with compassion one toward another. You know that in this room, there are people that you need to show compassion to. Yes, we'd love to see compassion to us as missionaries. We'd love to get that email. But most importantly, right in this room, the people you know their issues and their weaknesses. They're the ones you're supposed to show compassion to because Jesus Christ shows compassion to you. If we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we have got to be motivated by his compassion. We've got to not just be convinced of the gospel preaching ministry and of the discipleship ministry, but we've got to do what we do with compassion. We can look at a lot of other verses. Verse 38, he was itinerant. He was burdened for the other villages and the other places around that needed the gospel. He came with authority. You see all through Mark chapter 1 and 2 how he had authority over the wicked one. I just read in Matthew chapter 18 in my Bible reading where Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. I think if we are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to remember that he has authority to work in this age. He is not wringing his hands about what's happening in our culture. And he's not in a tug of war with Satan wondering who's going to win. He has authority. We operate and we minister from a position of authority, his authority, not our own. We don't go to Cameroon on our own impetus, under our own commands, under our own orders. We go under the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't minister in this area or in our churches in our own authority. God is still building His church. And if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to remember that. Sometimes we know all the bad news that Facebook and Fox News and all this stuff, we're just bombarded with this information. And we know more about the bad things in life than what is actual reality, which is that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and He has promised to build His church. And if we'll go forward in faith, He will do it. And we'll be amazed that we got to be a part of it at all. There's many things we could say. Lastly, I'll just say this. Chapter number 2, we see the man sick of the palsy. Jesus says to this man, take up thy bed and walk. But before that, He had said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then to demonstrate that He had the right to do that, the power to do that, He said, take up thy bed and walk. If we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ effectively, we have got to remember that He is the only way to heaven in this earth. The real problem in this earth is not economic, it's not educational, it's not even the health needs. Those are all real needs. But the main problem that no man can solve is his sin problem. And if we lose sight of the fact that as believers, we know Jesus Christ, we know the only true answer that anybody around us needs, the need, the true need is for that sin problem. And if we lose sight of the fact that we know where we're going when we die because Jesus Christ has dealt with our sin, if we forget that, we have really forgotten who we're following. When we go to Cameroon, when we day-to-day in our lives, we have got to remember we're following a God who has the authority and the right to say effectively, thy sins be forgiven me. There is no greater need in our world than for people to know that there is a God in heaven who can forgive their sin. Christians need to hear that too. I think so often we settle for what we're able to do and we never branch out into the areas that we can't do because we're so tired of the defeat in those areas. But do you know, Jesus Christ is able to forgive sin. He has the right and the power to say, your sins are forgiven. He's able to do that, and we cannot forget that. Tonight I would just say that as we try to follow the Lord Jesus Christ into Cameroon, the main task we've had in deputation is to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember who He is, to, as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'd like to know where we're going to be in 6 months. I'd like to know what God's going to do in a year. I'd like to know a lot of those things. But ultimately, the thing I must know is my Savior. And I must walk with Him, with my face fixed upon Him, on His face, step by step, following Him, knowing Him. And if I'll do that, He'll direct me. He'll guide me step by step, help me to be what I need to be in my home and in my ministry. And I'm confident that by doing that, I'll also hear someday, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And tonight, I don't know what God has called you to do specifically as a believer in this church or in this area, but if you'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll let what the Word of God says be what actually shapes your opinion of Him, not just your opinion or your ideas, but what the Bible actually says is true about Jesus. If you'll let that be what is in your mind and heart, the Lord Jesus will take that and He'll guide you step by step into what He wants you to do in this life. And then He'll call you home and tell you good job for doing it. It's an amazing fact that we can have this privilege of just being called Christians, literally followers of Christ. And that's really how you do the work of missions, is you just simply follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be at home, in your own church, praying, giving, going in your own Jerusalem, or whether it be God says, go to Cameroon, or go to this other mission field. You do it by following the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer tonight. I would just say tonight, as we bow for prayer, this is nothing you haven't heard before, I'm sure, but we live in a world constantly trying to distract us from what is true and what is right. We let others' issues distract us and discourage us. And I would say tonight, what are you looking at? Are you truly following the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you distracted by something else? Maybe just take a moment here before we pray and just tell the Lord, I want to follow you. Help me to get back on track, or help me to stay on track in a step-by-step following relationship with you. We'll just take a moment, let you tell the Lord that, and then we'll close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. I thank you that you not only did what was necessary to save us, but that you are all that is necessary for us to follow you. Pray that you'd give us clarity and just a laser focus to follow you, to believe you, and then to do what you lay on our hearts to do. Lord, thank you for the privilege it is to be a Christian, and thank you, Lord, for the privilege it is to tell others about you. Lord, we pray you bless this church and the light they are in this area and in our country, and pray that you bless them and strengthen them in the ministry you've given them here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for that message to our hearts. Let's stand together and sing Around the Corner, Around the World as we close the service.